Proverbs 13, verse 15, second clause in that verse says, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 20, the Bible said, and Paul here in his writings is comparing the old and new life. He's talking about the life of sin, the life that we lived back there in sin. And he said in verse 24, when you were the servants of sin or the slaves of sin, he said you were free from righteousness. You weren't right with God when you was back there living in sin. In verse 21, he said, what fruit had you then? I mean, he points them back. What fruit or what benefit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of those things, what things? Those things that you did in sin. I've preached from that text. I've preached on sin's dead end. I've preached from this text, and I've preached on sin's sad story versus God's great gift. But I just want to emphasize that sin has an end. But I want you to notice my text in Proverbs 13 and verse 15, but the way of transgressors is hard. Now it's talking about the way of transgressors. And I don't know about anybody else here, and I just turned 24 spiritually June the 29th, and got saved in 1983. I never forget, though, before I got saved, Brother Daniel, the devil told me a lie. And he told me when I was 14, 15, 16, and even in 17, before June the 29th, that, you know, that if I would give my life to Christ, if I would live the life of a Christian, my life would be, you know, it would be boring. It would be just dreadful. You couldn't go here. You couldn't go there. You can't do this and you can't do that. You can't say this. And man, he just lied to me and told me that, man, the life of a sinner is what you want to do in your youth. The life of just, man, live it up. Sowed all the wild oats you want to sow and just have a great time because you sure don't want to get saved. You sure don't want to get, amen, born again. You sure don't want to join the church because it's hard if you do. Anybody else hear that lie? I want to preach tonight of the Lord and help me on the big lie. The big lie. I have a burden on my heart tonight. I felt like the Lord wants to deal with somebody here in this congregation tonight. And I know there's few young folks here. I just wonder, out of all the young folks here, every teenage boy, every 16, 17, 18-year-old boy sitting in this auditorium tonight, every 16, 17, 18-year-old girl, I just wonder, is there something talking to you, telling you that it's going to be better once you get 18 and you can get out under mom and dad's wings, so to speak, and once you just, man, you just, man, I just can't wait. I've heard children or young folks tell their parents, I'm out of here when I'm 18. I'm out of here when I'm 18. I don't have to be under your authority no more, and I'm out of here. But you know what they've done? They've listened to that lie. They've listened to that demonic voice that says, hey, the better life is the life out there behind, outside those doors of the church. But can I ask any older folks, is it a lie? I said, is it a lie? Amen. Is it a lie? Yes. Amen. The devil lies to every young person. I want to tell you something. It is not God's will for every teenager to go through a stage of rebellion. That's not God's will. Amen. I believe by the grace of God that a child can be raised in the house of God and never go through a stage of rebellion. That's right. Rebellion is a very evil, wicked, vile spirit. The Bible, the Old Testament says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You might as well go worship the devil somewhere and have a rebellious spirit. And the reason I said that is this, because the adversary, amen, somehow convinces our young folks that if they leave the house of God, if they leave the things that mom and dad and the grandparents and the preacher has taught, that it would be better. Amen. about me, Lord. Praise God. I'm a little tired physically, but it is a lie. You see, the Bible here says the way, the way, the way. I've said in Romans, it talked about the end, the end, the end. Amen, is death. And of course, we know the ultimate, amen, end of every sinner and backslider that is not covered by the blood of Jesus is a place called hell. Amen. But here the Bible said the way of a transgressor. Amen. The way here in the Hebrew, amen, is in the original means a road or figuratively a course of life. The way, the course of life, the road that leads to hell. Oh, yes. And then the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. We think sometimes that word hard, and we sort of think, you know, just hard as a rock or that type of hard. But listen to what the Hebrew said. The Hebrew says it means to continue or permanent or rough or hard. In other words, the way of a transgressor is continually. Every mile of the way is hard. You'll never hit an easy spot if you are a lost person, if you are a backslider. I want to tell you, and if you listen to the hounds of hell that will try to convince you that life will be better on the outside of the house of God, it is a lie. I began to look at this. And I thought, okay, don't take my word for it. Let's go to the Bible. But of course, if you don't believe the Bible, then you probably don't have any choice of reasoning. But if you believe the Bible, whether you're lost or saved, cold or hot here tonight, then the Bible's right. When I'm right or wrong, the Bible's right. Doesn't matter who preaches what, who says what. If you can read it in the black and white, red letter edition of the King James Version Bible, the Bible is right. And here's what the Bible says about the way, the way, the way, the course of life for a person that's lost. The Bible said in Isaiah 48 and verse 22, the Bible said, there is no peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked. That's what, is that in the Bible? There is what? No peace. No peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked. But my Bible tells me on the trial of a Christian, on the side of a Christian, Brother Daniel, the Bible said, thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Brother Daniel, can I ask you something? Which way have you had more peace? The way of when you was lost in sin or since you've got saved? Amen. Is this scripture right? Thus saith the Lord, there's no peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked, but those that are in Christ, those that love the Lord, those that gave their heart to God, the Bible said that they shall have perfect peace. Oh, what a contrast. What a difference. Listen, son, the devil's lying to you. Listen, young lady, the devil is lying to you. I said the devil is lying to you. It's a lie. It is a lie. My Lord, I preached this morning about Adam and his wife. His wife was not named until after the fall. But then you can find later in chapter 3 that God told the woman in the man in sorrow. Notice those two words. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth a child. There. And told the man in sorrow thou shalt till. In sorrow. In wait a second. They was in paradise. They was in the Garden of Eden. The word Eden means pleasure. They was in the Garden of Pleasure. Amen. But God said, now that you have sinned, now that you've switched sides, now that you've got on the way of a transgressor, he said, only thing I can tell you, it's going to be sorrowful. It's going to be there ain't going to be no peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This ain't even in my notes, but do you remember the scripture in Psalms about the children of Israel when they were in a strange land and captive? And they said, how can we sing a song in a strange land? They were in Jerusalem, but they was taken captive in Babylon. Listen to me. If I remember right, the word Jerusalem is called the city of peace. Look it up in the Hebrew. It's the city of peace. But they were captivate, was taken, amen, and left the city of peace. And Babylon means the city of confusion. They had left the city of peace, and they was now in the city of confusion. You ever seen anybody backslide out of a church? They don't know which way to go. They don't know what they should do with their life. Amen, because the devil has captured their mind, captured their heart, and it seems like when you talk to them, you can't get nothing through their thick skull. You almost want to grab them by the shirt collar, jerk them up against the wall, and say, wake up, what's wrong with you? Don't you see you're making some stupid decisions? And forgive me for being plain, but you get the picture. Don't you? I mean, ever do anything? I just say, my Lord, son. My God, son. Don't you see you're fixing to mess up your life? Don't you see, son, you're fixing to make a crazy choice? Can't you see, son, amen, that alcohol, that drugs, that a worldly little girl is not the way? Don't you see it's a lie? Don't you see it's a lie? Don't you see it's a lie? It's a lie. I mean, the Bible's right. And if it ain't, we might as well close the doors and go home if the Bible's right. And the Bible said there's no peace. There's no peace. Even David said it. David, after he sinned with Bathsheba, he said, my sin is ever before me. My flesh is waxed away. I can't eat at night. My sleep is gone from me. He's saying, it's haunting me day and night. It's took away my peace. It's took away the presence of God. And when he come down to Psalms 51 and he finally repented in that glorious Psalms 51, the thing that he emphasized, well, God, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Don't take away your friendship. David didn't say, God, don't take away my kingdom. He can live without the kingdom. He didn't say, don't take away my riches. He can live without them. But he realized, amen, after he sinned, the most important thing in his life was the presence of God. I'm preaching to somebody here. Hey, somebody's believing a lie. Somebody's fixing to make a mistake. Don't believe the lie. Woo. Lift your hands here, church. I'm trying to help you this afternoon. There's no peace. Son, don't you let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil lie to you, young lady. There's no peace. There's no peace. There's no peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked. Oh, I could preach an hour right there. Y'all heard me. I mean, I could tell story after story after story. I'm not going to do that. I'm just telling you by the scripture, the Bible said there's no peace, saith the Lord, with the wicked, but to the child of God, Brother Daniel. Oh, I know some of you young couples might be having some trouble in your, I understand that. We all did when we was young couples. Me and my wife been married almost 23 years. And, I mean, it was sort of shaky at the start. I'm honest. Amen. I mean, we didn't about divorce or anything of that nature, but we didn't know. I wasn't taught hardly anything, and she wasn't taught hardly anything. And we just, you know, we was going to church, but I'll tell you this much. I'm glad we'd come through that. Amen, because all the friends that I ran with and party with every weekend, hey, not a one of them got the same wife. Amen, a lot of them's in prison. Some of them, well, not a lot, but I think one or two ended up in prison. I remember a boy named Doug, he was in prison last I heard. Amen, 3 or 4 of them boys died drunk or with drugs. Amen, and I look at my life and I say, God, well, you know, what's the difference? Amen, because I chose, amen, what is right. I chose the righteous road. I chose, are y'all with me? I chose the righteous, I chose Christ. And when I chose Christ, I gained the favor of God. Yeah, we've had a few bumps in the road, just like everybody else, but I've had the favor of God. I've had God on our side. Amen. I've been married almost 23 years. Amen. Got a beautiful daughter. Been married 2 years. Got a little grand youngin coming on the way. Are y'all with me? Amen. My oldest daughter never went through a spirit of rebellion. I'm thankful. It ain't because she had some perfect daddy, because I was not. There's no such a thing. There ain't no such thing as a perfect mom or dad. We've all made mistakes. We've all blundered. I got hope here coming up, and I'm just talking about peace. My God, I ain't never had to hide anything. I've never had to hide a gun or a piece of money because my children was on popping a pill. I'm telling you, it's the peace of God. Not because I'm anything, but I'm on God's side. And the Bible said that will keep him in perfect peace. I'll take peace any day Well, I've been hurt. I've been troubled. I was hurt. Well, as I said in Sunday school, welcome to life. I've been hurt in church, and I just can't keep my feelings. And well, welcome to life. Who ain't been hurt? Anybody here ain't been hurt? We'll let you come up here and pray for the rest of us. We'll have a prayer line. I'll be the first one in line. Come on up here if you ain't been hurt. Bro, so you're mad at God. You've probably never been hurt. Come on up. Oh, wait a second. You ain't coming. We've all been hurt. But my hurt isn't going to take me away from my God. My hurt isn't going to take me away from my best friend. The one, amen, that I haven't been his best friend at times, Brother Daniel. I've not always been on, but he's always been my friend. He's always been my best friend. He's always come, amen, times that I was ashamed when he blessed me. And I said, God, I sure don't deserve this. I sure don't deserve this. Last October when I got that $11,000 in a check from a man from Texas to buy me my van, I cried, I wept like a child. I said, God, I sure don't deserve this. I'm not good enough to get this money and buy this vehicle and pay cash. I'm not good enough. Oh, but thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Woo! Hallelujah. You know how much peace I had? Hey, amen. We driving out of that new van 2 or 3 weeks later. I told my wife, I said, send that brother a thank you note. About a month later, we was driving down the road. CD player. Wow. My old Cadillac didn't have a CD player. The radio was one then that you had to bang it on the dashboard for it to get to come on. Y'all ever had a vehicle like that? I mean, one of them, boom, cook, out, and it started playing. You know what I'm saying? The one of them kind you had to carry a screwdriver under the seat, you know, peck on the window. Amen, because it didn't work right. You know what I mean? You just had to, you hate to let anybody borrow it because they wouldn't know how to drive it. You got to hold your mouth right. Y'all know with me? So in that new van, about a month after that, so we'd had it for 2 months, and I told my wife, I said, send that preacher a thank you note for this thing. About a month later, I said, send that preacher a thank you note. 2 weeks later, I said, send that preacher a thank you note. About a month, and I'm serious, I'm not exaggerating. A month later, I said, send that preacher a thank you note. Matter of fact, I seen that preacher last Sunday, and I was talking about thank you notes, and he had up 10. We've sent him 10 since October. That's pretty good. Hey, look. I got more peace driving that new van than I did that old Cadillac. I'd get a little scared of that old Cadillac. I mean, I drove for a year and a half, but it was sort of, you know, I was worried at night and stuff with the kids. And man, I got, that will keep him in perfect peace. Woo! I know it's not an Escalade, but I wouldn't even know how to act in an Escalade. I mean, I just wouldn't know how to. But I can, I don't know, Dodge Caravan, you know. Man, oh man, that will keep him in perfect peace. My little Hope walks in that room, and man, I feel like 10 feet tall. Praise God. Praise God. I want to tell them, and not in a boastful way, but I want to tell them about Sabrina and Jonathan, you know, and just how they stayed faithful to the Lord and didn't do anything stupid while they were dating, you know, and married in the Lord and were both pure when they got married. I said, that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way. I mean, when your little boy rises up and he's 18, what do you want for his wife? You want that perfect little pure girl. Come on here. That's peace. Which one have you got? I got to hurry up. The Bible said in Proverbs, let's move on. The Bible said, let me give you the verse. Prove it by the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 21, notice this, Proverbs 13, 21, evil pursueth sinners. It's coming after me. Evil's pursuing. You know what the word pursue means? It means to try to outrun and overtake. Pursuing me. Evil's pursuing me. Never seen anybody when they leave church? Boom. Marriage goes down. Boom. Drugs. Amen. Bankruptcy. Everything just happens. Everything's go wrong. Quit, lose their job. Lose everything they got. Hey, everything going. Evil pursueth me. Evil. But wait a second. For a child of God, the Bible said, surely goodness and y'all, are y'all with me? Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Which one you want following you? You want evil or do you want goodness and mercy? Hallelujah. Which one do you want you? Which one you want, son? You want evil everywhere you turn? Or do you want goodness? Woo! Hallelujah. Mercy. Goodness. I had enough of that evil for 17 years. And all those buddies, I thought my buddies, And when I got saved June the 29th, 19th on a Tuesday night, standing at Gap Church of God, all them guys just dropped me like a hot potato. And I'm like, wait a second, I'm just saying. Of course, I wouldn't, but in a little 17-year-old boy's mind, I think I'm just saying, well, y'all don't call no more. But they had no use for me. Our daddies have changed. I changed daddies. I don't mean that disrespect, but I changed fathers. I didn't dance to the tune of the devil. Come on. I got saved. Amen. Evil stopped pursuing me. I know one guy. Amen. He was so, he wouldn't work a lick. He wouldn't shake a, he probably wouldn't shake a stick for $20 an hour. I mean, he just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't shake a stick for $20. I don't know if y'all heard that statement. He wouldn't shake a stick for $20 an hour. Probably that's a Kentucky saying. He wouldn't shake a stick for nothing. He wouldn't shake a stick for probably a few. He wasn't done. He lived on food stamps or welfare. I'm not against that if you need it. But he lived on, yeah, I mean, he would grow dope. Marijuana was his thing. You know, I'm talking, what am I talking, 20 years ago, when we first got 21 years ago. And, man, but he grew dope. That's what we say in Kentucky, dope. He grew marijuana in the hills there. And of course, our county's been number one in the state for 2 or 3 years, several years through the last 20 years. But he grew so much dope. And I remember, man, that's when I was working in Sears in the garage and driving a Chevette. Man, we were high class. And we were just living high on the, I was saying it's baloney. I mean, we got married. My wife would fix potato wedges and Heinz ketchup. Whew. I mean, that's why I like. She didn't know how to cook much more. Sorry, honey. But I said, that's all right. I love ketchup. It's got to be Heinz. I don't like generic. You can't fool me. Try to fool me. You can't fool me. It's got to be Heinz. I don't like Hunt's, nothing else. It's just A&P brand. It's Kroger, man. It sounds good. It tastes just as good. I got to have Heinz. She fixed that Heinz ketchup. She wouldn't fix it, but she had a high in the potato wedges. I'll get it right here in a minute. Man, and we just lived in that old house, you know, that they now made into a barn. Praise God. Y'all know y'all had some high-fluting preacher before you did. I mean, seriously, it's a barn. You go right by the right there. It was the first house. It's a barn. Horses live in there now. But man, it was peace when we lived there. Whew. That guy down the road, about, right around the curb, about 300 yards, grew that marijuana, and I was working here in a garage, just making, I can't remember what I made, 125 a week or something. It went a whole lot. That's 21 years ago, you know. Probably be like 300 today or something. And anyways, man, he got a brand new mobile home. I mean, then he come in there about another month. It was about October when, you know, the crop comes in and they start selling it for about $1,000 a pound, something like that. And I don't know what it is now, but that was what it was back then. And anyways, then he come in with a brand new Ford pickup. I never forget the devil said, now look, you're over here working every day, and you're paying your tithe. You're giving. You're just scraping by. You're living in this $2,500 trailer. We had moved out of the house and bought a $2,500 trailer. And you're living in this trailer here, and you're working. You're driving this Chevette. And I think we had a Citation. Once I can't remember, a little love truck or something. And man, he won't do nothing. And just got a new Ford truck. And man, I just got a little confused. I was like, wait, this ain't right. This is. But you know, Psalmist David, he had that same thought. He said, man, I looked on the way of the wicked, and it bothered me. It just bothered me. Well, I seen all their prosperity. But then he said, but wait a second. He said, I seen their end. He said, I looked down the road. He said, I got a little smart. He said, I let it affect me for a little bit, but I got to look down the road, and I seen where their end come in at. Come on. Come on here. But you know what? That old boy, amen, he got to growing after about a couple of years, his nerves started bothering. Amen. So in my family, his nerves started bothering. And he got to looking behind him. Seriously. He wouldn't even go to a little country store about it. We was in a rural community. He wouldn't even go 1 mile down the road in a rural community to a store by himself. He had to have his mom. And I'm talking about somebody probably in the 30s. He's older than I am. He was old. And I was probably 19, 20. He's probably 28, 30. He wouldn't go down to the store by himself. He had to have his wife or his mama because he's afraid somebody's looking at him. He's afraid somebody, it's the police, it's the FBI. Somebody's watching him. Evil pursue it. His nerves got so bad that he was able to get a disability check. Yeah, tell me about that one. Somebody needs it, can't get it, but all right, I don't want to go there. That's a different sermon. Come on here. By what I'm saying, wow. But here we were. Amen. Oh, evil pursues sinners. But goodness and mercy. Come up here, honey. Hurry, real quick. I got to close. I just want to talk about goodness and mercy. I can't hardly do that without getting my beautiful little wife up here. We look like the, you know, somebody said we're the perfect 10 couple. She's the one and I'm the O. Shoot, hey, praise God. Oh, y'all come alive on that one, honey. Hallelujah. Shoot. What are you laughing at? I'm going to be laughing with. Said we're the perfect 10 couple. Said she's the one and you the O. Shoot. Man. Woo. Hallelujah. It's like that guy said, man, I can tell you're level-headed, Brother Simpson. He said, the bubble's in the middle. I mean, I've heard them all. If you're a preacher and travel, you've heard them all.
goodness and mercy shall follow me. Woo. We got married. She was 16 and I was 18. I lived in that old house. Yeah, our rent was a little high, $50 a month. Man, we was like two peas in a pod. Y'all heard that, ain't you? Whew. We was like a fly on the tail patty. I mean, we was living it up. Somebody said, her life's like a bug on a windshield. No, mine was like a fly on a cow patty. It'd be tomorrow. But we were doing great. We had goodness and mercy. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Goodness! And all of a sudden, what was it, two, 3 years later, she come up with child. Man, and oh man, I remember when Sabrina was born. I always said, and she can tell you, I always thought babies was the ugliest thing. Newborns, I'm talking about, they're all ugly to me. She said, we get in the car and say, man, do you see that baby's nose? Do you see that baby's eyes? Or so, you know, just, you know, boys are just different than women. Girl. And, but when Sabrina was born, she looked like an angel. And carted her son. I mean, she just looked divine. She was a whole different baby. Goodness and mercy followed me. Yeah, I did. I said, goodness and mercy. Y'all act like y'all don't have no goodness and mercy. Anybody here's got goodness and mercy followed me all the days of my life. Amen. Oh, yeah. Everybody say all. I mean, on a good day and on a bad day and all the goodness. And I ain't looking back at evil. I ain't chasing some skeleton or running from no skeleton in the closet. I'm not looking back. No goodness and mercy. Then hope come along. And then goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Where are you at? You want evil, sir? Young man, do you want evil or goodness and mercy?
The blood of the cross, Satan has you blinded, he has you deceived. Would you wake up and fall to your knees? Please turn around, time is running out. I know he'll accept you without a doubt. Give your life back to God. Let him have control. Surrender all to Jesus. Your heart, your mind, your soul. Would you wake up and see that you're lost? Drifting away from the blood of the cross. Satan has you blinded, he has you deceived. Would you wake up and fall to your knees? Would you wake up and see that you're lost? You drifted away from the blood of the cross. Satan has you blinded, he has you deceived.